So in today's first reading, we have Nathan the prophet prophesying that God's going to raise up an heir to the throne of David, whose kingdom would last forever. And 1,000 years later, we have the angel repeating this same promise with its fulfillment to Mary, that a son shall come from her, as the angel says, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So this kingdom of Jesus is going to last forever. And during his ministry, Jesus came among us, and he kept saying to us, nation will rise, nation will fall. But that doesn't mean immediately that the end is upon you. It simply means that the nations will come and the nations will go. And in fact, we have seen this throughout history. Nations have come. Where's the Greek Empire now? Where's the Roman Empire? Whatever happened to the Assyrians, the Persians? All of these kingdoms have come and gone, and in our own times, we've seen the fall of a nation. Where's the Soviet Union today? So that indicates to us that nations come and go, but it also indicates to us that if we wish to endure, somehow we've got to get on to the kingdom of Christ, because it never will pass away. It's a kingdom, as the angel says to Mary, of this kingdom, there will be no end. So if you just hold on to that for a minute, I'd like to go back to when I was preparing for the priesthood, back in the early 80s, 1980s, that is. And I was there studying for the priesthood, and I had a good friend of mine who was in the Jesuits, also studying for the priesthood. And Jim and I both were diligent about our studies, and we had all these books that we had to read on scripture, on theology, and every teacher seemed to think his or her course was the only one, so we had all these books to read and articles. And among Jim's books one day, I noticed there was a book on the Titanic, which I thought was strange because we had so much reading to do already. So I asked him, I says, what's that book on the Titanic? And he told me that he was reading it in order to observe in the book, written by one of the survivors of the boat that sank in 1912, he wanted to observe how did different people respond as the boat was sinking. I thought that was an interesting twist on a reason to read this book, and I said, what interest is that to you? Is it historical? And he said, no. He said, I look around our civilization, and there are signs that it's a boat that's sinking. And I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. So he's observing how are different people responding as the boat's going down and attempting to assess how different people will respond as civilization, as we know it, sinks. And it made me a little, I had never thought of that before, and I started to look around, and by the time my own studies were coming to a conclusion, in one of my moral theology classes, we had to read a book by a Catholic nun defending abortion. And then I began to understand there were some signs in the culture and even within the church that seemed to indicate something wasn't quite right here. And of course, we had to write a book report on this book, and I dismantled her arguments and ended up getting punished by the professor, who I upset, with a C. It's the only C I got while I was in seminary, but I was punished by coming out against this book in my review of it. And ever since that time, I've often thought of myself as a Catholic priest, as someone who's attempting to get people into the lifeboats of a boat that is going down. Now, I don't have any prophetic utterance. I can't predict the future. I can't say how long the nation of the United States is going to last. I don't have any insight into that. I know that for some people, the elephant in the room is that a particular political candidate wasn't elected and another was. But you know, I don't really put my eggs into that basket. Because no, regardless of who wins the outcome of an election, the truth still remains that nations come and nations go. And we still need to get on to the lifeboats. And that's the kingdom of Christ, a kingdom that shall never end, the source of our security, the source of our endurance, the source of our remaining, even as things may around us collapse. Father Jim, he did go on to be ordained and unfortunately died at a very young age, about maybe 10 years into being a priest. And of course, all this time I have seen myself as someone trying to get people into these lifeboats. And sometimes people have gotten upset with me because I do this. I attempt to get people onto lifeboats, and there are people that don't believe there's anything wrong. There's no need to get people to the lifeboats. And I remember asking Jim, how did some of the people respond on the Titanic? And he said, in this book at least, of written by one of the survivors, there was an elderly couple who went up to the upper deck of the Titanic and basically sat there together, enjoying their last moments as husband and wife, looking at the stars and going down with the boat. There were some others who, instead of sticking with all the commotion on the upper deck, they went into the first class suites of this luxury liner and enjoyed these first class suites for as long as it lasted while the boat was going down. Some of the crew changed out of their crew clothes and put on regular clothes so they could get on the lifeboats when they should have been helping others get onto the lifeboats. All of these different responses as the boat was going down. And regardless of who we have within our leadership and what's going down, the truth still remains we need to somehow get to these lifeboats. And there's one difference with the lifeboats that Jesus provides. The engineers and the crew members of the Titanic didn't believe this boat was sinkable. They believed it was unsinkable. And as a result of that, they didn't put enough lifeboats on the Titanic to accommodate all the people that they had sold tickets to in the event that this boat went down. And as a result of that, a lot of people lost their lives because there wasn't enough room on the lifeboats. But I'm here to tell you the good news is Jesus has supplied us with plenty of lifeboats. But I'm also here to tell you the good news that even the lifeboats we have, there's plenty of room on them because there's so few that want to head to them as the boat's going down. So there's plenty of room. And whatever else may be going on these lifeboats, one thing is in common to every single one of them, because I can't say for sure in your life what that lifeboat is, because we all have different needs when it comes to getting into a lifeboat and what our life circumstance introduced to us. But one thing is common to every single lifeboat, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is our gateway to the kingdom. A relationship. That's what faith sets up for each one of us here. Faith sets up a relationship that is salvific for us. It brings salvation. Now, all of us have a lot of relationships. We come in and out of relationships. I've had a full life of many relationships. And there's only one relationship among all the relationships I have now and will ever have and have had that is salvific, and that's the relationship with Jesus Christ. Every other relationship will serve that salvation to the degree it's in communion with and in agreement with that one relationship with the Savior. And this Christmas, that's all the Savior comes to establish with us. A relationship. And we forget. We forget about Him when we're about our other relationships to so many things that are vying for our attention today. We have a lot of people today forgetting about Jesus. And I'm not just talking lay people. Look at all the bad news on the abuse crisis in the church. These are fellow ministers who have forgotten who they are. And they've forgotten about Jesus. Because no one could remember Jesus and forget who they are. But we also have husbands forgetting who they are. Wives forgetting who they are, and even young people forgetting who they are. And when that happens, all kinds of lines and boundaries get crossed, people get hurt, and lives become ruined. Because we forget this one relationship that makes all the difference in shedding a light that comes from eternity, not simply a horizontal light that's coming from the world, but this light is shining from all eternity, and it puts everything into perspective. So this Christmas, this is all the child Jesus is coming to us to establish, is a relationship. And the question that I would put to you as we get ready for Christmas is, will you let Jesus into your life this Christmas? That's all the baby wants. And he's coming to us so vulnerable and lowly, non-threatening. He's not coming to us as a dictator. He's not coming to us forcing his way into our lives. If it helps, see him as he is, a baby. Will you welcome him this Christmas? Will you shower him with kisses? Will you show him affection and say, come into my life, Jesus, and begin to establish that relationship that is the gateway to the kingdom that lasts forever. And make your way to the lifeboats, because civilizations and nations come and go, but the kingdom of Christ will never end. So let's head for the lifeboats by inviting Jesus into your life this Christmas and say, welcome you, Jesus, I welcome you. Yes, come into my life. I desire to be with you and to remember you so that you will help me remember who I am in all these other relationships in my life. and rendering all of them fruitful unto eternal life.